ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is Nick Babich, Editor-in-Chief of UX Planet, and our topic for today is switching to UI UX from other design industries. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks, cloud accounting software for freelancers and small business owners. The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed with powerful features. Create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. Set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. See when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing games. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UI Breakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Jane.
Thank you so much for making it today.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to start with a questionnaire. And a question number one is, what do you do for a living?
I do both design and development. For me, it's like switching between the activities that are really related to each other. So I do both of them.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a bit more about UX Planet. You produce and write a lot of content and put it out there.
No, actually, yeah, but I'm not the only one that who do it, because I have a lot of good writers there. And UX Planet is a collaborative resource from different people who would like to share their thoughts and opinions.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was authored or with you, by you and some guest authors.
Yeah. I mean that actually, because a lot of articles was written by myself, but I said that we have a lot of contributors, the people who'd like to share their own thoughts in terms of articles, and they actually contribute to the UX Planet.
Awesome. Tell us a bit of your background story. How did you get there?
Well, I was interested in design all the time since my early childhood, and this part of like interaction part with each product, I don't say that it should be really a digital product. Basically, each product, I'm really interested in interaction part. And design, like the aesthetics and things like interaction are really fascinating for me. And I'm was interested in that all the time.
So tell us a bit more about your education and what kind of companies you worked for before you ended up as a UX guru and writing about it online.
Well, I have a technical background, and my master degree was technology in education. Uh-huh. I spent a lot of time researching in this field, and I ended up with a degree in this field. And basically, it's a development degree, but again, my final work, I mean, my diploma was about both education and interaction and development. So I've just mixed three activities in one project. Uh-huh. And yeah, my first work was as a developer. And I've spent a lot of time designing and development mobile apps and websites. And step by step, I've moved to the design sphere, actually.
Mm-hmm. What does your typical day look like?
Oh, it starts with a sync up meeting with my team. We would discuss our daily progress, I mean, the yesterday progress, our own blockers, I mean, showstoppers, and our plans for that today. After that, I try to do some review for work, I mean, design review or code review for development. And other activities can be mixed. Sometimes we do some sort of user research or a sort of user analysis, or someday we try to prototype different things, like what is the best way to do some sort of UI control research in this particular field.
Mm-hmm. So does it mean you run your own agency or some other kind of team?
No, it's I work as a full-time developer, so I do management activity.
Awesome. What do you enjoy the most and the least about your work?
The most enjoyable thing for me is the collaboration. I really love that part, and I think that for each project, if we have a strong team, this means that we have a lot of people who can collaborate and communicate with each other. And I really enjoy that, because when we communicate and collaborate with different peoples, we hear a lot of opinions. And this makes us to think about this final solution. For example, when we have a hypothesis about something, like an idea that these sort of things should work and look like that, we discuss that, and basically we agree or disagree on that. And the most interesting part in that is when we disagree. Yeah, this brings us a lot of arguments and things like how impact it should look like and how it should work. And sometimes it moves us to a completely different idea of how it should be implemented. So it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a decision maker in your team, or is it totally 100% democracy?
Well, I would say that it was 100% democracy. It could be a chaotic things. It will be 100% of democracy. But I try to make it more liberal than anyone else, because I think that the most important thing for people is to be heard in the team. I mean, when their opinion and ideas and suggestions can be reached to the management and to the stakeholders, is really important, because when we have a feedback loop, both for our users and for our stakeholders, it's really important. And I really, as a people who can manage that, I try to bring this to people who are on the top of our ladder.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like the least of all?
I'd say bureaucracy, because uh-huh. Sometimes we have a sort of, well, I like an agile approach for designing and development, but sometimes that's not applicable, because we have things like time frames and agreements on the top, and we should follow that strictly. And this bureaucracy, sometimes it's kind of okay when we have much time for that, actually. But sometimes we have strict deadlines and things like we should due date. And it can be stressful both for the team and not good for the project if we don't have enough time, for example, for that.
Mm-hmm. What is your next big thing?
Well, I think that you mean the global or my local thing?
I mean, maybe your personal project that you're working on, something next step for UX Planet, anything like that.
Oh, that's interesting. I think about education and the education program for UX and UI designers.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that recently, and had a lot of ideas on this. So most probably I will start gathering the ideas and something more tangible in the nearest months.
Where can people, you know, join this waiting list or something like that to hear about your course?
Yeah, we have a newsletter, UX Planet, so feel free to join.
Awesome.
I will update this this information for subscribers.
Great. So today the topic is switching to UI UX, and I picked this topic because I read your amazing article full of tips to designers, but I would love to, you know, go deeper on these points today in our interview.
Great.
Awesome. So there is a ton of people who used to be, you know, print designers, probably even web designers, who want to become a UX designer and put this label on their, you know, profession. What challenges do they face when they take such decision?
Actually, a lot of challenges. Basically, a lot of people misunderstand design and thought about that as a sort of decoration. And the main challenge here is to overcome this idea and move into the field that thinks as design as problem solving. So the first thing that is a bit different, actually a lot of different mindset for people who would like to join this field is to change it in the direction of a problem solving, not just creating beautiful things.
I've always had a problem with that. You know, problems certainly do arise when you're in the process, but when you're just facing a project, it's not a problem. They tell you build something and then you think of the way it works. It's not like it's immediately problems right in your face.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, when you have a sort of idea of how it should be implemented, most of the time, at least for me, look for these not from the user point of view, but from your own experience, I mean, the experience of designer. And that's not always true for good design, because we try to do it like we want to have it, but it might be a really different experience for our users and our stakeholders, because, you know, people want different things, and they ask us to build the things for them, not for us.
Definitely, definitely. What was the next point that you were mentioning?
Oh, it's it was about a confirmation bias, but it's kind of related to the first one. I mean, that I just said, actually, because we're building solutions not for ourselves, but for our users. And we should bring a lot of empathy into this process.
Absolutely. Actually, I heard an opinion somewhere. I really like the idea that the skill of the designer is to impersonalize, to pretend that you are your user, provided all the information that you gathered during the research phase. So it's you're still kind of imagining yourself as a user. It's just you have to be intelligent enough to imagine all these limitations.
Well, yeah, but sometimes it's really interesting because I had it recently. I read an article about that, which said about the research from one of the UX designer, not actually UX designer, but more product designer. The person, she was asked to basically design a kitchen appliance sort of things, like knives and things like for older generation of people, for elderly people. And she was pretty young for the time, maybe 20 or 30 years old. And what she did, she pretend to be an 80 years woman, yeah. She walked with a stick, and she used the bandage things on her leg, and she wears a makeup that would make her look and feel like an 80 years old person. And after that, she was able to create more usable product for these target users, actually.
Wow, that's an advanced level of that impersonalization.
Yeah, because when you imagine that you are different person, it's not enough, actually. You should experience this to understand, to fully understand what it looks like and feel like. And I think that a lot of people misunderstand the world of empathy is like things that should be imagined or some sort of things like what would be if I would be a user. But actually we should experience and try to experience that. At least if we can't experience that, we should communicate and collaborate with our users. That's why I think the phase of a user research is really, really essential for each project.
Absolutely. So designers who used to be designing, you know, physical items or print items, they are now switching to designing digital products, software platforms, for example, or something like that. How can they get informed? Like, how do they learn about this whole new world of software engineering?
Well, I should say that a lot of publicly available information for these sort of things. Even the starting the books from Don Norman, Design of Everyday Things, is a great start for everyone who is interested in UX design. Because actually, UX design is not quite different from the product design. We try to solve the problem that users have. And the only difference in UI design, I mean, designing for digital products, is the tools we use for that. So we use more graphical editors or prototyping tools, but the idea for that is the same. So the approaches for solving problems, for physical problems, physical projects, can be applicable for the digital as well.
Speaking of tools, so the designer is facing a dilemma. They need to learn, to master new knowledge, and they need to master new tools. Which do they go for first?
Of course, knowledge, because you should know when you should apply each tool.
Mm-hmm.
At least you should understand how it will be in your UX process, in UX design process.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of skills or, I don't know, knowledge areas should a person study when they're getting started?
Great question. I should say that it should be the field of usability. It should be definitely things like visual hierarchy and accessibility for user interfaces. And I think that we should, the UX designers should really focus on things like user research and and product analysis. Because the things like gathering and managing user requirement is really essential for digital products. Because a lot of time people say that they need that, they need this control or this UI element. But in fact, they need the things that solve their problem, actually, not just UI control.
Absolutely. And speaking about problem solving, that's exactly if you and your, I don't know, someone who manages you, if you both are facing an unsolvable problem, maybe it's time to rethink the solution and just approach the same problem from another perspective. That's a great way of doing things, because sometimes both the designer and the person who manages them, they get stuck because there is no obvious solution.
Absolutely.
So could you recap maybe some of your favorite resources or books where people can go and find that necessary information?
Oh, sure. I love Smashing Magazine.
Oh, wonderful.
this is my number one resource for that. And I really appreciate Vitaly Friedman's work. And he's a person that I really, really like to read and see. So this is number one resource for me. Another resource that is quite popular is a blog for Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a lot of tips, even written for myself. Yeah, there. So you can search for the information there. Definitely web design depot.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to see information about the trends and what is happening now in the industry,
mm-hmm.
Maybe more specific resources about UX, something like UX Booth.
Mm-hmm.
Or Creative Blog, for example, they also publish a lot of articles related to UX and do a great job in this direction.
Right. Also, we never mentioned that component of learning. So one is mastering the knowledge. Second is probably mastering the tools. Third is probably researching and getting an eye full of other people's great work. While, and number four would be practicing. Am I missing on something important here?
Well, absolutely not. You're just right on the track. The list is complete, and I would add just one thing, iteration, because each time we do something like do a user research, that doesn't mean that we should do it just once on the project. We do it on a regular basis if we want to achieve a good results.
That's gold. This advice is gold. Really important to go back to the research you have, to the, also to the theory, and you just keep iterating on doing good work.
Yeah.
So for the tools, what do you think an essential toolbox consists of?
Well, it actually depends on UX designer, because the role of UX designer is quite different in different companies. And some designers are more user researchers, and some designers are more UI prototypers, I mean, the person who create great user interfaces. So, speaking about user designers, for example, I would say that the number, the list of the tools essential for designers is prototyping tools. Something like low-fidelity prototyping, or like Balsamiq, for example, or high-fidelity prototyping tools like Adobe XD. Note apps, things like where you gather your notes and your things like sketches is really important. So your number one tool actually is something like OneNote or Evernote. Because during the design phase or ideation phase, you have a lot of ideas actually, and you shouldn't throw them in the box. You should collect them because it's really handy. And you see what you have on your what you had on your mind during the previous iteration, and this will help you to do more interesting work in the current phase.
Mm-hmm. To do the ultimate, you know, so the ultimate pixel perfect phase where you get to high fidelity, you know, UI design engineering, which tool is the tool of your choice these days?
Well, I'm the person who is favorite from my Adobe products, so I love Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator, Adobe XD is my number one set of tools.
Well, I should probably suggest Sketch as an alternative to that, even though I totally respect your love for Adobe.
Yeah, I had a lot of thoughts about that, but it's a hard decision for me because I'm really stuck with the Photoshop. I just love it.
All right. Sounds good. For seeing other people's work, which resources would you recommend to study? I don't know. Behance comes to mind. Anything else?
Yeah, Behance is a number one resources for case studies. Perhaps Dribbble as an alternative for more fancy things like a UI and UI animation and graphical work, something like that. Oh, well, maybe something like UI Movement, the latest resources that collect different works related to the UI interfaces.
Mm-hmm. I should say an important part is also signing up for actual apps which have good design and using them and, you know, getting a grasp on those modern patterns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because really designing doesn't come without being a user yourself. All those impersonalization skills really improve when you practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's imagine we kind of pulled ourselves together and are already doing some work. What are the first steps to get your first job as a UX designer? Maybe first project or first job. I don't know which is more correct. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no problem. You mean do you want to step into this field and you want me to give advice for actually the people who will be moving in this sphere, yeah?
Absolutely. We have a lot of people like this who are listening to us now.
Absolutely. That's my advice, is a lot of practice. even if you don't have a really good portfolio, I mean, the portfolio is essential for joining a project or entering some position in the company, because a lot of hiring managers will ask you just when you appear, like, you want to have this job, and people will ask you for the portfolio. And for portfolio, you need to have a set of projects, but these set of projects aren't required to be a real-world projects. For example, you might participate in daily UI challenge and demonstrated the results of your participation, I mean, the result of your work in your portfolio. This will give you both, will demonstrate your skill first as UI designer, and will give you practical skills and design in actual solving the problem.
You know, UX industry is very, it's not just about eye candy, as you well know. So yeah. How would you demonstrate, not only screenshots, what is the best way to demonstrate your problem-solving skills in the process?
Great question. Love it. to my mind, you... mockups and the wireframes or even high-fidelity eye candy UI isn't a good way to demonstrate your skills. The good way to demonstrate your skills is to tell a story of how you solve the problem. And the problem is your actual project. So if you have, for example, the project about something like app that requests a pizza in your district, you should describe how you bring the value proposition for stakeholders, for example, how you start user research, what was your persona, your target audience, and how you prototype. For example, did you start from the sketching, or did you move straight to the graphic editors and bring the lot of beautiful UI elements right in the layout? And basically, to say how you achieve the goal of a beautiful designed application that also satisfies the need of your stakeholders and your users.
Absolutely. And also, my two cents, also don't be scared. It doesn't have to be a description of an entire project. I've been quite successful publishing just small bits of, you know, experience or little problems for specific projects. They do have real life examples, but they don't go like from start to finish. I just only focus on a specific challenge that we faced and solved.
Absolutely, Jane. That's 100% correct.
So don't be afraid, even if you have like small bits of wisdom, go ahead and publish them. Oh, by the way, I should mention that writing as a skill is also very important. And you must really second that.
Yeah.
So, as for yourself, when you started writing about your, you know, UX challenges and also UX lessons that you publish, how did your writing skills and career evolve over time?
Well, my writing skills evolved because I improved my articles based on the reader's feedback. Mm-hmm. So I read the comments and I analyze them. I try to, even each next article is an improvement of the previous article for me. So I try to demonstrate, try to write about the things that are really important for people, remove all the things that aren't essential or don't bring value for readers. And the latest things that I was really, really enjoy is to add in helpful things like tips and maybe tutorials for how to do a practical, how to gain a practical skills with the knowledge they get.
Mm-hmm. So actually, you're describing a way number two of demonstrating your expertise, which is not by showing your portfolio, but by teaching others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I learn a lot from my readers too.
That's cool.
So yeah, sometimes people ask questions that I don't have an answer, and I need to research this particular area and improve the article, or just give it a chance and say that, yeah, this assumption is really great, and you're right, man.
I have one question which I should probably have asked in the skills section, but what's your opinion? Does a UX designer need to learn to code?
Yes, I should definitely, that designers should learn to code, because, you know, when designers and developers live in two different areas. I mean, designers don't know anything about development, and development don't know anything about design. There are a lot of problems appear, because when designers comes with solution for the problem, I mean, actual UI, they came to design to developers, and developers said, "Nah, these won't work." Even if these work, because but developers is, for example, lazy to do that. He would be able to tell the designer that that won't work. And designers will get back to the drawing board and design another solution for the problem. Even the first one was great, for example. So I think that both designers should learn code, and developers should learn a bit of design to understand how to implement things correctly.
Do you think that designers should actually do the coding part of their work, or do they just need to know the basics so that they can present good options to the developer?
In most cases, I think that designers should be able to know the basics,
mm-hmm.
to understand what is possible and what is impossible from development point of view.
Mm-hmm.
This will help them to be more... open-minded in the case of technical moments of project.
Mm-hmm. That's a great piece of advice, really. As a non-coding designer, I can say that the replacement for that is to constantly interview your developer for what is easy and what is not before you ship the ultimate piece of work as a shortcut. So... one last question for today is, how do you integrate into the professional community of UX designers once you get started?
Well, there is a lot of possibility for that. You can start with the local meetups or conferences and get the connections there. You can, again, try to write an articles on the topic you're working on. A lot of people like there are general articles about the skills, I mean, the things like best practices and how to do this or that. But it's quite a good idea to write a case study of your own experience, for example, for your own project. This might be not the perfect one. Like, it's totally okay if you say that during your research phase, you did, for example, 5 or 6 mistakes, and you solve them in another iteration. But it's really interesting for people, and you will get a lot of responses from other UX designers who was challenged by similar tasks and similar projects. And you totally will gain a lot of contacts and connections in this sphere.
If you're starting out from the middle of nowhere, which I'm very familiar with, when you know nobody, what is the best place to publish your work? Because if you just publish on your blog, it's great, but people won't just automatically come. Where do you promote it?
Well, I suggest Medium, because Medium is a great resource, because it has a lot of people who visit it on a daily basis. And a lot of publications, like, for example, UX Planet, that... you can submit your article for review and get a feedback at least, or if the article is good, it will be published, and you will get a lot of views from this publication.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to conferences, are you a big fan of those?
I wouldn't say that I'm a big fan of conferences. Like the things, I mean, the topics that discussed on the conference. But I'm a big fan of things like communication. And a conference is a great opportunity to you to join the other UX fellers and communicate with them. So I'm a big fan for the conference from this point of view.
Can you mention some of your favorite ones that you repeatedly come to?
Well, I've been the previous year in 2016, and I was the Push conference in Munich. It's a really great place with amazing audience, and the atmosphere there was really amazing. A lot of great memories from that. So this conference will be in October. If you will be in Germany at that time, I suggest this conference.
Sounds great. I also would like to point out that it does not specifically need to be UX design conferences. There is also a lot of conferences on actual product development and conferences for founders where you can get a glimpse of the business side of things, which is a really great skill for a designer to have.
Yes, absolutely.
So, summing up today's conversation, what would be top, you know, three pieces of advice for those who are starting out? Oh, I know practice more is your number one, but maybe the other two.
Yeah, I said listening for the opinions and don't ignore them. Because a lot of time people follow confirmation bias and they just start with their own idea how to implement something. But in real life, we need to communicate and collaborate effectively to achieve our goals.
Great point. And one more point?
Well, I think that it's important to learn all the time. So the more you read, the more you learn. So I suggest to see other people's work, read a lot of articles on the topic, and learn best practices and the current trends to be able to achieve the good results.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for sharing your experience today. That was great.
Thank you, Jane.
Where can people find you and your work online?
Oh, actually, UX Planet is a great place to find my work.
Awesome. Sure. And are you on Twitter?
Yeah, my tweet name is 101 Babich.
Sounds great. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today and have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks, Jane.
This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software. They're offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UIbreakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.